I'm going to do a bread and butter message tonight. This is what I call a bread and butter message. And it was prompted by the Holy Spirit when I was driving to AFCM. One, and they haven't got the gadget here, so I'm starting at 7. Okay. I was driving to AFCM one day, and in the never-ending journey up to there, I go along General Holmes Drive, which is, you know, along Botany Bay there. So it's very sandy around that area. And as I was driving along this particular day, I was noticing that all the front lawns, the ones out near the pathway, they're all sort of dry and brown and sandy looking. But every now and then there was a lawn that was bright green and lush. And just every now and then. And I thought, wow, how does that happen? You know. And as I drove along, there was a man out there in his dressing gown watering the lawn. And the Holy Spirit said, that's how it happens. That's how it gets bright green because, you know, the soil is sandy. It's a pretty difficult area. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, that's what the body of Christ looks like most of the time. Lots and lots of people who are dry and brown and very affected by the environment that they're functioning in. So the environment is having more impact on them than the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit said to me, and then there's the odd Christian around who actually tends their spiritual life, and they are lush and vibrant in the things of God. And I just felt the Holy Spirit prompting me to do some bread and butter messages on just encouraging us to tend to our spiritual life and the benefits of that. So tonight I'm doing a message called The Three Benefits of Reading the Bible. And probably the next time I minister at night, I'm going to do The Three Benefits of Praying. And probably the next time I minister at night, I'll do The Three Benefits of Turning Up. You know, just bread and butter stuff that will make all the difference to your world. Unless, of course, you're one of the green patches of ground, which you might be. A number of years ago, I was talking to David Cartledge, who used to be second in charge of what is now Australian Christian Churches, used to be AOG. I was talking to him. We're talking about books and Coorong and reading and will he write a book? And he said, probably not. And he said, the thing is, you know, he said, Christians are strange people. He said they have everything they need in their lap, meaning the Bible, you know, because in those days we used to hold Bibles in our laps. We didn't look on screens, not that there's anything wrong with looking on the screen, but that's how it was then. He said they have everything they need in their lap and they go looking for it everywhere else. And I just recently reread some of my China stories. I know you're probably bored to tears with them, but too bad, I'm going to give you one tonight. I was rereading one of them. It always, you know, the China stories always, and we live in a totally different culture, so in a lot of ways you can't compare, but they always inspire me how much these people value the Word of God. It did in the 80s particularly, when the persecution was strongest. And this particular story I was reminded of when I was preparing this was that there was a secret offload of Bibles onto a beach. A million Bibles offloaded onto a beach. It was an amazing mission project that some Australians and some Americans did. And they had them, the Chinese had them secretly deposited on this beach and one of the secret house groups. So a house church in China could be 20,000 people, you know, because it's all underground. And the house church leader, once a month, would send three guys down to this secret deposit down near the beach to collect 1,000 Bibles and bring them back to the house church up north. And they did this every month. But one month, they had the Bibles, they went and picked them up, and they were waiting in a bus depot to catch the bus back at night. You know, everything's secret. And the PSB caught them and took the 1,000 Bibles and threw them into the public latrine. So that's raw sewage. Threw them in. And they took the three guys and they put them in prison for the weekend. And they released them on Monday afternoon and said, you know, you go straight back to your province and, you know, we don't want to see you again. So the guys left and they went and hid in the latrine until darkness and then they climbed into the cesspool of human waste and retrieved the 1,000 Bibles. And washed them off in a tap nearby, took them back up to their province and dried them page by page, cleaned them off and sprayed them with perfume, and then circulated them amongst the house church. And they became known as the perfume Bibles. And the people who got them actually felt more privileged than the people who got ordinary ones. And so they were still used. Even 20 years later, they still find the perfumed Bibles in China. And the story ends saying, such was the hunger and need for the Word of God. And whenever I read those stories, and, you know, Rick will tell you, like, my study is just like, there's Bibles everywhere. Every translation, large print, small print, you know, travel size, desk size, cupboards of old ones that I don't use anymore. And I just think, do I really value this to the degree that I should? And sometimes I think, well, maybe not. Because sometimes I get into books too much. But tonight I want to encourage you in that to value the fact that you have a Word of God, to value the fact that we have such ready access to the Word of God. But also I want to encourage you the value of reading it regularly, like every day. I don't want to put law on you or box you in or anything like that, or at least exposing yourself to it every day. Nowadays we can get things online, you know, we can do the headphone thing. And it's all good. But, you know, the Lord said to Gloria Copeland a number of years ago, in consistency lies the power. In consistency lies the power. And one time I was listening to Keith Moore, who's an international Bible teacher, and he said, consistency will beat intense effort every time. So basically what he was saying is, 10 minutes in the Word every day is going to benefit you more than just an hour on Saturday. Or, you know, 10 minutes every day will benefit you more than once a month you decide to sit down and read for 2 hours, you know. Consistency will beat intense effort every time. So the idea of what I'm trying to get across tonight is, let's value the Word of God. The Bible says that we have everything we need through His exceeding great and precious promises. If you don't know what the exceeding great and precious promises are, you're not going to have everything you need. And the only way you're going to know them is to read the Bible. And so that's the message tonight. 3 benefits of reading your Bible regularly. And I'm hoping there's no condemnation in this. There's no accusation in this. It's just an observation of mine that most Western Christians actually hardly ever read their Bible. And most of them don't know their Bible very well. None of you, of course. But, and that's not an accusation or a condemnation. It's just an observation. And tonight this is just an encouragement. It's not a you must do this or else. It's just an encouragement to read your Bible daily or as often as you can, because it will benefit you. And these are the 3 benefits. They're not the only benefits, but they're 3 benefits that I've come up with. So the first one, the first benefit, is found in Hebrews 11:6. And the first benefit is, it pleases God. It pleases God to read your Bible. And the scripture I've chosen is, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Now, I'm not saying it pleases God in the sense of He can say, well, you're a good boy or you're a good girl. But like any good parent, God wants His children to be nourished, well-fed, and healthy. Any good parent wants their child to eat a good breakfast before they go to school, because it's going to help them to concentrate better. Statistics show that. God's the same. We're made in His image. He's a good parent. He wants His kids healthy. And it pleases Him for us to read the Bible, because it's going to keep us healthy. The Bible says that faith comes by exposing ourselves to the Word of God. Whether you're hearing it in preaching, whether you're hearing it because you've got headphones on with the Word of God on your iPhone or something, whether you're reading it, whether you're memorizing it, however you expose yourself to the Word of God, it's going to cause faith to come. And without faith, we can't please God. Because the Bible says, as Christians, we are to walk by faith, not by sight. If we don't spend time in the Word of God, there's no faith. So you will default to natural reasoning. You'll default to natural wisdom, which will get you so far. It's not like you know, that won't get you anywhere. But it won't get you into supernatural living. It won't get you into the supernatural things of God that can only come into your life via the gateway of faith. And faith comes by exposing yourself to the Word of God. Faith, a definition of faith can be believing and relying on the Word of God. If we don't know what the Word of God says, there's nothing for your faith to be based on. Scripture says the just shall live by faith. And so how are we going to live supernaturally if we're not feeding our faith? In Scripture, it talks about it being milk and solid food. It can be all sorts of things, but it's all nourishment to our faith. And so as you're feeding on that daily, sometimes it's going to seem like chewing bricks, might as well be honest. You know, sometimes it seems like chewing bricks, sometimes it seems exhilarating, sometimes you get a lot of revelation, sometimes you go out and you think, I don't know what that was about. But as you do that, faith comes. It's a supernatural thing that can't be explained naturally. Also, and this came out in Carol's word last Sunday morning, Jesus said to abide in the vine, and when we abide in the vine, we will bear fruit automatically. Can't help but bear fruit. One of the best ways to abide in the vine is to spend time in the Word of God. It's not the only way, but it's one of the ways. To spend time in the Word of God is the way of abiding in the vine. And Jesus said when we did that, we would bear fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is something that we need to be bearing as Christians, because that's what unbelievers see and want to partake of, because it's yummy. Good fruit is yummy. And when we bear spiritual fruit, unbelievers see it, and we're not even aware that they're seeing it. We're not even aware that we're exhibiting that fruit, but they want to partake of it, and it comes from spending time in the Word. I always remember something Yonggi Cho said, you know, David Yonggi Cho, pastor of the largest church in the world, and he said, if I don't read the Bible for a day, nobody notices. Just obviously God does, but he said no one really notices. He said if I don't read it for 2 days, I notice. He himself notices, because he can tell his attitudes are a little bit more in the natural, less in faith. He can tell he's a little bit more short-tempered. He's a little bit more critical of people, and he just notices. He said if I don't read it for 3 days, then my wife starts to notice. Because, you know, he's just a bit different. He said, if I don't read it for 4 days, my colleagues start to notice. He said, if I don't read it for 5 days, everybody notices. And so imagine if we don't read it at all, friends, you know, we're really missing out on a benefit that God has given us, a supernatural benefit. So that's the first point. It pleases God for us to read the Word, because it means we'll be fit and healthy spiritually. And faith comes, and we can be supernatural people. Okay, number two. Number two is when we spend time in the Word regularly, it brings success and guidance into our lives. So many people come forward in prayer, in my time as a minister, so many people come, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And sometimes I say, do you ever read the Bible? And they just look at me like, why would I do that? You know, but the fact is, success and guidance comes from reading the Word of God. Once again, I can't explain how. It's a supernatural thing. You could be reading about something that happened 6,000 years ago, and suddenly you will get revelation on something that's going on in your life right now. It's supernatural. As Pastor Chuck said this morning, one of my scriptures tonight is, the Word of God is living and active. You can't nail it to the floor. It's just supernatural. You know, you could be reading a genealogy and you will get revelation. If that's what God, you could get revelation about what kind of coffee to buy reading a genealogy in the Old Testament. I mean, it's just an amazing book, and you can't nail it to the floor and say this is how it works, because it's just a supernatural thing. So the scripture for this one, Hannah, if you could pop that up, is Joshua 1:8. And how often have we used the beginning of Joshua? Probably not for 2 or 3 years, and yet we're both using it in one day. So it's amazing. He says, do not let this book of the law, this was what God was saying to Joshua. So at the beginning of Joshua, we looked at it this morning. You know, God came to Joshua and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you get to take them over the Jordan and into the promised land and bring freedom to these people. I mean, amazing task this guy has to do. Daunting, overwhelming. He probably wasn't looking for it. He probably hoping all the time God had changed his mind and Moses would do it. But here he is. He's got to do it. And naturally, if he was a natural man, relying on natural wisdom, natural sensibleness, if you like, you know, you'd be thinking, okay, well, I got to raise up this army. We better do some battle programs. We better go to the gym and get fit sort of thing. We've got to cross this Jordan. We'll need 20 boats to do that. We'll have to go backwards and forwards. We'll have to fight these battles. How are we going to do that? Naturally, all these things would come. God, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this amazing feat? How are we going to get even over the Jordan, let alone take the promised land? This is what God said to him. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Like even just to get a verse and meditate on it for the day. Just think about it. So that you might be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. God says, this is how you're going to do it. This is how you're going to cross the Jordan, how you're going to take the promised land. Meditate on my word day and night. That's how you're going to do it. Out of that comes revelation of what to do. That's where he got the revelation for the priest to go down and stand in the river holding the ark while the river's in flood. Who does that? Who does that? But he got revelation on that as he was meditating in the word. So reading the word of God will cause you to be successful, will cause you to have guidance. You know, David said in Psalm 119, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He also said the entrance of the word or the unfolding of the word will bring light. If you're here tonight and things are looking dark, if you're in a corner and you're not sure what to do, can I please encourage you to spend a little bit of time in the Word every day? It will center you. It will cause you to have more discernment. You'll wonder where it's coming from. You'll think, why am I, you know, more discerning here? How come I know better what to do? Even if the circumstances haven't changed, you feel more confident and centered in what's going on. It's the strength of the Word of God, feeding your faith, feeding your confidence that God is with you. You know, there's a proverb that says, when you meditate in the word of God, when you're walking, it will guide you. When you're sleeping, it will watch over you. And when you awake, it will speak with you. I've had that experience. I've had that experience of going to bed thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do about that. And, you know, I'm a good sleeper, so I don't fret over things. Once I'm in there, it's like I'm out. And then I wake up the next morning and the Holy Spirit will say this. He'll just give me a scripture and revelation will come out of that scripture and I'll know. And it's just because you spend time in it. It becomes a part of you. So success and guidance comes. Okay. And Jesus said when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to the Lord, he was praying for his disciples, and he said, sanctify them, so that means set apart, keep them separate from the world, make them useful to the master, basically. He said, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. So we have here the word of God, which is truth. Now, in our culture, we are bombarded with semi-truth or lies. Like the media, you know, they just speak lies. They just get a snippet of something and create their own story and print it and, you know, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story sort of thing. Or they give half-truths. Or there's messages coming through advertising. And, you know, it all looks good. How do you know what's right and what's wrong? How do you know what's true and what's not? You have to have the Word of God in your heart and it will help you to discern what's right and what's wrong. Jesus said when he was talking to the Pharisees, he said, if you abide in my word, so that means to live, like if you live in my word, you'll really be my disciples. Isn't that interesting? That's one of the hallmarks of really being a disciple. You know, I'm on a bit of a thing at the moment that a lot of the time we're just Christian consumers. We're not actually disciples. We sort of come along to things, read the right books, sing the right songs, but we're not actually disciples. We're just Christian consumers. There's a whole different range of characteristics that fit a disciple. And one of them, Jesus said, was if you abide in my word, if you're actually reading the Bible and meditating and spending time in it, you're really a disciple. He said, then you'll know the truth. Truth about what? Truth about anything you need to know the truth about. Anything that you're struggling with and you're not sure about, you can know the truth by abiding in the word. And he said, once you know that truth, it will set you free. Set you free from what? A lie that the enemy has used to keep you bound? When truth is revealed, freedom comes because you have that power and that knowledge to step out on faith and make the changes that are needed. So that's number two. Success and guidance comes when we read the Bible regularly. And then the third one is the Word of God is a powerful weapon against the enemy. Okay, so Ephesians 6:17. Thanks, Hannah. And earlier on in this section, the end of Ephesians, Paul says, take up the whole armor of God that you're able to stand against the schemes of the enemy. And he says, you're not fighting against flesh and blood. And we're always tempted to do that, aren't we? We're always tempted to just, you know, be aggravated with that person and why are they like that. But Scripture says we're not fighting against people. We're fighting against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness and all the hierarchical powers in high places. So you're fighting against them. So take on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the enemy, because the enemy is out to devour you. Scripture says he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Scripture indicates that some of the people that he can devour are ones who don't know the Word of God, because they don't know they're being deceived. See, he's a deceiver. And how do you know when you're being deceived? Because the Word of God is truth, and it will expose his lies. If you don't know the Word of God, he knows how to make the lies look really believable. And so here, in one of the parts of the armor that we take, it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the sword of the Spirit, and in Hebrews it tells us it's a double-edged sword, is the Word of God. It's the Bible. It's your main weapon against the enemy is the Bible. It says in Hebrews that it's living and active, it's double-edged, and it is able to discern between the thoughts and intents of your heart. It's able to discern between soul and spirit. Now, why is that important? Because your soul is your emotions and your will. Your emotions, your mind, your will, that is your soul. And your spirit is that perfect part of you where God's spirit lives. And your soul can be very strong in what it wants and how it sees things and what it thinks is right. And your spirit is the God part of you who will prompt you. Your spirit within you will prompt you, no, don't do that, do this. No, don't spend money on that. You need to just do this, or do spend money there. Your spirit will be prompting you. But if your soul is really strong and just, well, I want it, I'm going to do it, then it's the Word of God that will be able to discern between your mind, emotions, and will and what the Spirit of God is saying. The Word of God will help you discern between those. And the Word of God is a weapon against the enemy. You know, I gave that example a couple of weeks ago on Phil Pringle, where he just spoke the Word of God against that demon to be able to get, I won't go through it all now. If you weren't here and you want to hear that story, just ask me later. I'm starting to run out of time, so. He just spoke the word of God against that demon, and eventually he was able to get that DA approval through and all sorts of things. He spoke the word of God. It was a weapon against that force of the enemy against him. You know, in John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, you know, in the beginning, the Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word is God. The Word of God in your mouth is God to the devil. Is powerful against anything the devil can throw against you. The Word of God is stronger in your mouth. It is God to the devil. That's a strong weapon. Amen. I'm glad you liked that one. So, when Jesus, I'll give you a couple of scriptures out of Psalm 119. David says in this, I would have perished in my affliction if I hadn't known the word of God. I would have perished in my affliction if I hadn't known the word of God. He also says in Psalm 119, David talks a lot about the benefit of the word of God. He said, it makes me wiser than my enemies. It makes me wiser than my enemies. When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees once, you know, they were having a go at him about something. I think it was whether the people rise from the dead. He said to them this. He said, you are mistaken because you don't know the scriptures and the power of God. And then he went on to talk to them for a little bit, and then he said, you are greatly mistaken. And friends, I want to tell you, as people of God, it's very easy to be mistaken when you're not spending time in the Word of God. I'm not saying spending time in the Word of God makes you perfect and that you'll never make mistakes, but you are so vulnerable to being deceived and devoured by the enemy when you're not in the Word. And I mean, I've spent a lot of time in the Word. It would be very easy to just think, well, I know it. And, you know, I do know it. I know the historical side of it. I know where to find things and all that. But if I'm not spending time in it really regularly, daily preferably, things slip. You can be more easily deceived. You can be more easily, you can get judgmental, you can get critical. I tend to get very sarcastic about things, or I lose hope much more easily. And quite frankly, I think I'm better looking when I spend time in the Word. I'm serious. There are times where if I haven't spent time in the Word, I seem to just get older looking. And when I go back to spending time in the Word, and I think, there it is again. It works. And honestly, you know, we know some people, and they're in their 70s now, they look fantastic, and I can guarantee you it's because of the Word of God. So, look, it's the best beauty tip I know, spending time in the Word. But just to finish off with one more story as an encouragement, and I always remember this, I've told it before, so if you've heard it before, too bad. But if you have, you've probably forgotten it anyway, so I'll tell you again. When I was in Bible college, back in the early 90s, every time we had an assignment, you got about four options of what you could do. You could write an essay on this or this or this. And one of the options was always, or you could memorize scripture. And so, you know, I remember one, I can't remember them all, but one in particular, one assignment in particular was, you could memorize all of Hebrews 11, like the whole chapter, to stand and recite it. That was one of the options. Well, I was younger then, and so all the young ones decided not to do that. We all wrote essays, but there was an older woman in the group, and she always chose the memorized scripture option, and she'd stand up when it came time to submit your assignment. She'd stand up and, you know, rattle off Hebrews 11 from beginning to end. And so we asked her one time over morning tea, we asked her, I said, why do you always pick that option? And she said, well, I had a dream. I had a dream that I was out with friends, we're walking down the street, and suddenly we got surrounded by soldiers, all wearing armor and swords and looking, you know, threatening. And she said, we were all afraid. The soldiers surrounded us, and obviously they meant harm. And she said, but in the dream, it was those of us who knew how to speak the word of God, who had, we didn't have Bibles with us, but we had the word of God in our heart. And she said, the ones of us who could speak out the Word of God and had memorized the Word of God, or who had spent a lot of time in the Word of God and knew it, we were able to escape. The soldiers weren't able to touch us, but the others were killed. And she said, I felt the Lord was saying to me, it's so important to memorize the Word of God and know the Word of God. And so that's why she always took that option. And I've always remembered that. I always thought, yeah, that probably was a dream from the Lord. So that's it for tonight. That's my three benefits. The first benefit is it pleases God because it keeps you spiritually fit and healthy. The second benefit is success and guidance. And the third benefit is it's your major weapon against the enemy. And so just before I finish off, I've brought a few samples. Look, you know, any way you can get it. If you can get it sent, I've brought a few of these devotional things, the word for today. Now, devotionals aren't everybody's cup of tea, and that's fine. It's not the way everybody likes to do it. But look, I tell you, the scripture says the law leads us to Christ. Okay, the law leads us to Christ. Sometimes to start out in a more defined, systematic way gets you into the habit. Like I remember when the three of us decided to read 12 chapters a day. We don't do that now. Well, I don't. We did it in a very disciplined way for about 6 months. We read 12, the three of us, we read 12 chapters a day. It took about an hour a day, just of the Gospels and Acts, three times through in 30 days. And it got us into this habit of reading a lot of scripture. And it's a habit that I've maintained to this day, not necessarily 12 chapters a day, but it got me into a habit. And that I never would have been able to get into without that initial rigid discipline. Okay, now I'm at a place where I don't have to rely on that to spend time in the Word or know what to do or know how to do it. But a lot of Christians don't know how to spend time in the Word. They don't know where to start. They don't know how to do it. So I just rang up Bob Gass's group and got them to send out some devotionals. You can have this sent to your computer, or you can take one of these tonight. They're free. They're free. You can, if you take it and you like it, you can subscribe to them. They'll send it to you for free. If you want to take one and just get their details and have them send it to you on your computer or your phone or whatever, you can have it as your homepage. You can do all sorts of things. I stole this out of Rick's drawer, our daily bread, so please don't take this, but you can have a look at it. That's a different style of devotional, also free. They're different styles. They're as simple as anything. It'd take you about 10 minutes. Most of them have a verse, a little bit of a write-up, a bit of extra reading, and if you're one of those people who want to read the Bible through in a year, it can do that too. I'm not a fan of reading a Bible through in a year, but, you know, if you want to do that, go right ahead. I don't think we're meant to, personally. I think different books are for different reasons, and you need to understand that. But if you want to do that, they make provision for it. So please don't say, I said to read the Bible through in a year, because I wouldn't. But well, I just think you need to spend more time in the New Testament than that, myself. These are free. I've ordered them in especially for you to come and take one. Give it a try. If it's not you, that's fine. Leave it on a bus shelter or something, or give it to someone else. But they're there. If you think, well, yeah, I want to spend more time in the Word, I don't know how to, take one of these. If it doesn't suit you, there's others. You can come and ask me, and I'll put you on to others. You know, Joel Osteen, all sorts of people have devotionals out. And you know, maybe after you've used it for a year, you think, well, I don't need to use that anymore. I want to do my own thing. And that's fine too. But it's a good kickoff. Yeah? Okay. I'll pray and we'll just get going. Father, praise and thank you for your word, Lord. It is truth. And as it says, we have access to godliness and the very nature of God by just meditating in your word, Father. And Lord, we underestimate it, I believe, sometimes. But Lord, just help us tonight to be people who find that time and find that way to spend time in your word, even though life is getting so fast and so technological and all these things, Father. your word is still the truth. Your word is still the solid rock. And Lord, help us to remember that and